If you long for the return of Jesus and look forward to it, that would say to me, your life is right with God.
Today, Pastor Greg Laurie points out those who are waiting for the return of the Lord should be ready for the return of the Lord.
In recognition of the fact that God loves me and God has chosen me and God has so much waiting for me on the other side in heaven, how should I respond? I should purify myself. A hopeful Christian seeks to be a holy Christian.
This is the day when the lost are found. This is the day for a new beginning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Again you hear all the angels are singing. This is the day when life begins.
The chances of being in some kind of car accident are about 1 in 360. So you wear a seatbelt to be prepared. The chances of your house catching fire, 1 in 400. But you prepare yourself with smoke alarms. Well, what are the chances of Jesus returning? 100%, he will come back. So are you prepared? Now, we may not know when that'll happen, but today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie points out what's waiting for us in eternity and helps us to be prepared to go at any time.
I heard a story about a pastor that was speaking on the topic of heaven, and he asked his congregation, how many of you would like to go to heaven tonight? Everybody raised their hand except one little boy up in the balcony. So the pastor asked the question again. Again, I ask you, how many of you would like to go to heaven tonight? Every hand shot up except that little boy. So the minister actually singles the little guy out and he says, son, don't you want to go to heaven? The little boy said, yeah, I want to go to heaven, but I thought you were getting a load up right now. I mean, we like the idea of going to heaven, but we're not necessarily in a rush to get there. Well, we're in our series, Hope for Hurting Hearts, and we've been talking about the hope of heaven. And we described what the scripture says about it. And some of you listening to this message might say, well, you know, Greg, that's a good message for you older people. In your 40s and beyond, but I'm still pretty young. So I'm not really thinking too much about this. Well, first of all, you need to know that you never know when life will end, irregardless of your age. But here's another thing to think about. There's more than one way of getting to heaven. Death is one way. The other way is an event that is coming. An event that we could all experience together. An event that the Bible calls the blessed hope. And I'm speaking, of course, of the rapture of the church when we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. It's spoken of in Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now listen, if we really understand this blessed hope, this biblical teaching about the imminent return of Christ, it should affect us in the way that we live. 1 John 3 says, we know that when he appears, we'll be like him, we'll see him as he is. And he that has this hope fixed on him purifies himself even as he is pure. So if you really believe this, it should impact you and the way that you live. But most of all, it should give you hope. Now the question is sometimes asked, when you get to heaven, do you get the glorified body? And I think the answer is no. I think you get the glorified body at the resurrection. And the prototype for this new body, if you will, is Jesus Christ himself. Because the Bible says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we shall see him as he is, for we will be like him. That means that we can take some cues from the resurrected Lord and the body that God has in the future for us. We know this about Jesus. After he rose, Jesus rose in a real body, in a real world, in a real way, with a real voice, and commissioned his disciples to do real work until the time when they die and are raised again in real bodies to be with him. And that brings us to one of our passages here, and that is John 21. And before we read it, let me just sort of set the scene. Jesus has been crucified. He's risen again from the dead. He's made a number of appearances already to his disciples, including Simon Peter. He has told the disciples to wait for him. Peter, being a fisherman, gets tired of waiting, hangs a sign on his office door, gone fishing, goes out to the Sea of Galilee with some of the others. They fish all night and they catch nothing. So as they're coming into the shore early in the morning, before the sun has even risen, someone is standing there that they don't recognize. He calls out, "Boys, did you catch anything?" They say, "No." He says, "Why don't you cast your net on the other side of the boat?" They do it and pull in so many fish, they can't contain them in the nets. So now they drag in the nets full of fish to the shore. And here is the scene that awaits them in John 21, verse 9. As soon as they came to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." And Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said, "Come and eat breakfast." Or if you have a King James version, "Come and dine." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" knowing it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Now this relates again to our new body. Let's look at a few things. Verse 4 tells us Jesus stood on the shore. He wasn't a phantom floating around. He stood on the shore. He spoke to them with a human voice. "Do you have any fish?" He then made them fish. He didn't hover above the ground. He was a real person. Later we read, he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. You say, "Well, what does that have to do with me?" Well, everything, because your glorified body resembles his. Three things that stand out about the glorified body of Christ, the resurrected body. Number one, he was recognizable, including the fact that he bore the scars of the crucifixion. Number two, he did not have normal limitations. He was able to appear and disappear at will. And thirdly, he ate food. So, number one, we will be recognizable in heaven in our new body. As I said, you will be you. Also, you won't have the natural limitations that your body has now. The blueprints for our glorified bodies are in the bodies we now possess. I mean, the fact that Christ could appear in a room and disappear without using a door is interesting, but at the same time, you could reach out and touch him. So that's a different kind of body altogether. Our bodies will no longer age or get sickness or break down. We're told over in 1 Corinthians 15, our earthly bodies which die and decay will be different when they're resurrected, for they will never die. Our bodies disappoint us now, but when they're raised, they'll be full of glory. They're weak now, but when they're raised, they'll be full of power. Another thing, we will eat in our new resurrection body. How many of you are excited by that? You're going to eat. When the Lord rose again from the dead, he wanted to prove it. And he said, "Well, do you have anything to eat?" And he ate a piece of fish. It's not like Jesus was like translucent or something, and you could see the fish going down, you know. So, I mean, we get the weird ideas. He was a guy you could reach out and touch. "Hey, it's really me. Give me something to eat." And he starts chowing down on some fish, and they're saying, "That's our Jesus." Because Jesus liked to eat, right? He was eating all the time with his disciples. In fact, he used eating as a metaphor of how he longs to have a relationship with us in Revelation 3:20. "If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and" what? "Have a meal with him, sup with him, spend time with him." And so we will eat as well. And it seems like we won't gain weight. Or maybe the glorified state is we're all fat. And that's perfect. And skinny people are imperfect. I don't know. Probably not on that. Can you imagine sitting around with the great men and women of the Bible, turning over to Moses? "Moses, could you hand over the manna, please?" Oh, maybe we should have that for dessert. "Hey, Elijah, my meat's a little undercooked, a little too rare. Could you get a little fire on that for me? Hey, Lot, could you pass the salt?" Oh, Lot, you're so sensitive. Get over it. Hey, that's a good question. Let's ask C.S. Lewis. Spurgeon, why don't you chime in on this? Corrie Ten Boom, I love what you always had to say on this topic. Well, let's ask President Lincoln. President Lincoln, what would you think about this? We'll have the most amazing conversations. But it's not only gathering together with the great men and women of the Bible. Heaven is going to be a place of resurrected relationships. You're going to be reunited together with your loved ones that have gone before you who believed in Jesus. You know, there's different kinds of relationships in life. There's what you might describe as a high-maintenance relationship. These are the people that if you don't call them every week, they get all stressed out about it. Then there are relationships that you've had with people that you've known for 35 years and you literally don't see them for a year to 2 years. And when you see them, you pick up where you last left off. You know what I'm talking about? I have friendships like this and it's great. You know, you haven't seen each other for so long, but that relationship goes back so far. That's what heaven is going to be like. Because if you've lost a loved one unexpectedly and communication was cut off quickly, you long to reconnect. You long to finish the conversation. You long to have new ones. There were new adventures you planned on having. In heaven, that's all going to be sorted out. That brings us to our second passage, 1 Thessalonians 4. Turn there now. Starting in verse 14. We believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, and we believe that when Jesus comes, he will bring with him all the Christians who have died. For the Lord himself will come from heaven with a commanding shout, with the call of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God. First, all the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remaining on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air and will remain with him forever. So comfort and encourage one another with these words. You're going to be going about your business and suddenly find yourself in heaven, reunited with loved ones, face to face with Jesus in your new glorified body. And this could happen in a nanosecond. The Bible says in Corinthians, it will happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That phrase twinkling comes from the original word atomos, that we get our word atom from, and it is speaking of a word that cannot really be measured. In other words, the time is so quick, you can't measure it. I mean, the twinkling, not even the blinking of an eye. Death is the great separator. Jesus Christ is the great reconciler. We'll be reunited with loved ones. Husbands will be reunited with wives, and wives with husbands. Children with parents, parents with children, friends with friends. It's like a big family reunion. So how should this affect us? Well, if I really believe Jesus is coming, it should certainly impact me in the way that I live and in the choices that I make and what I think about and what I spend my time doing, what I spend my money on. It should affect every aspect of my life. Coming back to a verse I quoted earlier, but now let me quote a couple of verses that preceded to give it context. Listen, 1 John 3, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we will be, but we know that when he appears, we will be like him and we'll see him as he is. Listen now, everyone that has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. We're talking about hope. If I have the hope of the Lord's return, the blessed hope, it should affect me in the way that I live. It should cause me to want to live a godly life. In recognition of the fact that God loves me and God has chosen me and God has so much waiting for me on the other side in heaven, and ultimately when heaven comes back to earth, how should I respond? I should purify myself. In other words, gratitude leads to godliness. A hopeful Christian seeks to be a holy Christian. He or she purifies himself from all known sin. Question. Are there any things that you are doing presently that you would be ashamed to be doing if Christ were to return? Is there a relationship you're engaged in right now that is dragging you down spiritually? This is where the purifying yourself comes in. It means that I make decisions, things I don't do, things I do in their place. So I'm living in a sense of anticipation and readiness. In so many parables that Jesus gave, he told us to be watching and to be waiting and to be alert as we look for the return of Christ again. You'll purify yourself even as he is pure. If you long for the return of Jesus and look forward to it, that would say to me, your life is right with God. How many of you would be happy if Jesus came back before the day was over? Raise your hand. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you'd be unhappy. But if I did, and if you were honest, there might be a few who would. And why would you raise your hand? Because you would say, well, I'm doing things I'm not so sure I should be doing. Well, here's the thing. He that has this hope purifies himself even as he is pure. So you need to be making some changes. Because listen, Christ could come back at any moment. Folks, this is a whole nother topic for a whole nother time. But all around us, I'm telling you, every day it seems like you see things happening in our world that say, Jesus is coming. You got to be ready. And I want you to be ready. So we're going to close now in prayer. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to get right with God. If you're not sure if you're ready for the Lord's return, respond to this invitation I will extend. And if you are maybe living a compromised life, then you respond as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word to us. Lord Jesus, thank you that you're coming again. And we want to be ready for your return. And I pray now for every person here hearing this message, help us all to be ready for your return, we would ask. Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie with important insights today about heaven and how we can be prepared to meet the Lord. And if you'd like to make a change in your relationship with God, Pastor Greg is back to help you right now.
Listen, as you've listened to this program today, maybe something's been happening inside of your heart where you're sensing, I need to do this personally, but how do I do it and what do I do? Let me help you. It's very simple. In fact, it's so simple you may be shocked. God, this relationship with him is just a prayer away. The Bible says, if you will call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. So I'd like to lead you in a prayer where you do just that. You call on the name of the Lord. This can be the moment where you change your eternal address, literally from hell to heaven. Just pray these words, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I know that you're the Savior who died on the cross for me and rose again from the dead. Jesus, I choose to follow you from this moment forward. In your name I pray. Amen. I know. It's such a simple, short prayer, but you just called on the name of the Lord. And you know what? He heard that prayer. And if you meant that prayer in your heart, he answered that prayer. Now let me help you to get started on the right foot in your new life in Jesus Christ. The greatest adventure awaits you, the life of walking with God. I want to send you what we call a New Believer's Bible, and it's a New Living Translation with a lot of notes on how to grow spiritually woven through this unique edition of Scripture. And let me be the first to say to you, congratulations and welcome to the family of God.
And to get that free New Believer's Bible, along with the other items in our growth pack, just let us know that you've prayed along with Pastor Greg to receive Christ today. We'll be glad to send these free resources your way. Call us on 1-800-PRAY-FOR-ME. That's 1-800-772-936. And just mention to the team that you'd like a New Believer's Growth Pack. They're available to pray with you too. They'd love that opportunity. Call 1-800-772-936 today. Next time on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg brings one final message in his series on hope. It's a study called The Hope of the Church. Today's message from Pastor Greg Laurie was called The Blessed Hope. If you'd like to listen again, just download the free Vision Christian Media app, where it's available as a podcast, along with more inspiring Christian content. Just search your app store for Vision Christian Media, station sponsor.